It's just a song that makes you laugh, does it not? Basin audience, gather on the transistor and press the ear. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, enjoying whiskey in a jarro. Once again, it's not the actual song. It's a ripoff.
It's a cover, not a ripoff. It's a ripoff. You're paying for it.
Where are the lyrics?
I mean, you get royalties when somebody does your song. I don't know if you get royalties. There should be. If they do it so much better than you, maybe you shouldn't.
A jarro.
Like, I think Bob Seger should get less than the Doors or, you know, some of the Guns N' Roses remakes, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody does it better than you, like, should Disturbed really be paying Simon and Garfunkel a lot of money? I don't think so.
Yes, they should.
It's great writing, though.
Oh, my goodness.
The writing
was so
is great.
Good right
I wonder
there.
How much money Jimi Hendrix paid Bob Dylan.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I've been getting beat up on that right there. Did I say that Hendrix wrote it?
I thought I said
that Hendrix did the song. That's what I meant, because I know that Bob Dylan wrote that song. But, man, Bob Dylan didn't make that song famous. Hendrix did.
Yeah. I've never been – I'm a huge Dylan fan as far as his writing is concerned, but – the actual stuff he does, I admit. Go ahead and tweet me now and rip me. I'm not a big Dylan guy.
I will tell you right now, and
the writer Dylan,
going
yes,
to upset an awful lot of people. I vomit at the thought of hearing Bob Dylan.
Really? I don't go that far.
Oh my goodness! Just stop it.
From now on, whenever Wolf's driving is crazy, Mitch Maloney, just start hitting some Bob Dylan.
Oh,
I never knew that.
Oh my goodness!
In 15 years, whenever
That's
he deserves
brutal.
It. Gambo sent out a tweet yesterday. Maloney, you've been talking about this tweet for a while. Will you, instead of me kind of regurgitating it, will you read it firsthand so we get it straight from you instead of me making it up as I go? In which Gambo is referring to the future of CP3, James Jones's plans as far as it relates to CP3, and where we stand on that. August 1st is the main deadline for Chris Paul, because Chris Paul needs to let the NBA and the Suns know whether or not he's opting in. He has a player option. So a player option means your contract's over, but if you want one more year, it's totally up to you, and the price is already set.
So what are
$44 million.
What are we hoping that he's going to do?
That he opts out.
He opts out, Douglas.
But then signs a new contract with the Suns.
Aha!
For about 3 years, something like that. And it's interesting because 3 years ago, it was a no-brainer he was going to opt in, because the question would be, no one's paying you $44 million. So of course you opt into that deal. Now, it's the exact opposite. Now, Chris Paul, with what he did with Oklahoma City and what he did with the Suns, makes it totally, totally worth it.
This to me right now, this is great news that we're hearing coming from Gambo right now, that Chris Paul, of course, wants to be back, and the Suns want him back. You know what? When you've got two willing parties like that, they're going to make that happen. How that happens and the particulars of that, we do not have. But the fact that they're in agreement to make it happen is huge.
Well, the way the tweet sounded to me is that it's not done, but it's going to get done. That's kind of how I felt.
Well,
and
the tweet was basically saying that the Suns can't talk to him until August 2nd. And that James Jones won't put the organization in jeopardy of penalties or fines, but that they both sides want to be back.
Right.
And that's one of those things. It's not against any part of the CBA for them to have been talking until the end of the season. So, therefore, this is probably something that was mostly hammered out a long, long time ago. Does it mean that there's any violation of anything if Chris Paul changes his mind?
Yeah.
He has every right to opt in. He has every right to opt out and sign somewhere else. Now, Bobby Marks was on with Burns and Gambo, and when he was on, the NBA insider, kind of front office insider with ESPN, looked at it and said, yeah, going home is attractive. Playing for the Lakers might be attractive. Playing with LeBron might be attractive since he's his best friend. But
if Chris Paul wants to go to the Lakers for the tax mid-level at 5'9", God bless him. Right? Like, if he wants to do that, good for him.
Because they don't have the money, right? They don't have the money for him.
They don't have the money, and there's no sign and trade. I mean, the Suns are going to go out and get KCP and Kuzma and a pick in 2028. You're not going to. You'd rather just let it go and kind of, use cap space or bring back campaign and stuff like that.
Well, that's good news right there. And once again, it's just good news overall, because you could be hearing some type of smoke or smelling, we should say, some type of smoke in regard to Chris Paul and the Suns. If things weren't going well, I think we would. But I think this is, guys, I think this is a lot to do about nothing, because I think this was decided weeks ago. Why wouldn't you? You have the opportunity to sit there and breach the subject with Chris Paul if you're James Jones. You wouldn't have this conversation weeks ago in regard to what exactly you were going to do and how it was going to unfold. I would think, my goodness, you had it all but done.
I would say you're really doing a poor job as a general manager if you aren't already pretty knowledgeable on what's going on. Because what is it that you didn't see from Chris Paul that hesitates you to want him back next year? So aren't you going to come up to him and say, hey, we want you back next year, and we even want to make the team better, and it's going to be hard to make the team better if you get $44 million of our salary cap, and we know if we're asking you to opt out, we know we've got to pay. So let's talk about something. And it's really not going to take that long. Chris Paul is so financially well off that he's not going to be looking to break the bank, but he's a businessman. And keep in mind the way Derek Jeter changed.
He already broke it.
Yeah. Derek Jeter changed a lot.
I thought that was funny.
Derek Jeter, as the Marlins owner, made a lot of players realize, wait a minute, maybe I want to get into ownership. And it's one thing to be a player and be financially well off and be a millionaire and live, you know, with more money than you could ever hope to have imagined. But if you have that desire to be an owner, the players aren't anywhere near that kind of capital. Right now, LeBron James just passed $1 billion, and most of that is in endorsements and business things. That's not in his player salary.
Yeah.
So Chris Paul is certainly the kind of guy that's going to be interested in ownership. Dwayne Wade is an owner. He owns a piece of the Utah Jazz. Look at Larry Fitzgerald with the Suns. Since that's the way some players are going, then you do want every ounce of money that you can possibly get. And I would think that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years and maybe around 80 to 100 million.
Man, can you imagine right now? I am greedy. I want one more year with Chris Paul. Listen, I know, you know, you're talking about him opting out and they'll go ahead and sign him to a 3-year contract. I'm all okay, great. I got no problem with that. But not, I don't want Chris Paul just because it gives the Suns an opportunity to win a championship. It's not just that. It's the fact that I think he's going to have, you give him one more year exposure to DeAndre Ayton. One more year exposure to Devin Booker. One more year to Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges. One more year of being around Chris Paul in this culture. Man, do you know what kind of dividend that is going to pay? I one more year with these young guys to grow under this umbrella that is CP3. Oh, man, I want that so badly. Not only because it makes the Suns good, it gives them a chance to compete at the highest level to win a championship, but it's also because of the impact, the lasting impact, the impression he can make on these young guys going forward in their careers. You're talking about 22 and 23-year-old guys. 24. The old man is Cam Johnson at 25. It just, man, it's so critical to the culture of this team lasting and taking hold and then being repeated year after year after year when Monty's here. Because of that, one more year exposure with Chris Paul, man. I want that badly.
Text Pepsi right now to 620-620 for a chance to win custom Ketel Marte cleats, a copy of MLB The Show 2021, and an exclusive suite experience for you and your friends. That's Pepsi to 620-620. So yesterday, Wolf and I dramatically disagreed on something, to the point where Wolf said it was the worst opinion I have ever had on the history of the show. We disagree about the amount of pressure that is on Shane Doan's son being drafted by the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
So instead of us disagreeing about it, let's get the guy on that drafted him and ask him how much pressure there is on him. The general manager, Bill Armstrong, is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for waking up with the two of us. It's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios this morning. And the man that just is in the middle of free agency and ran the Arizona Coyotes draft has called in to the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Bill Armstrong. Bill, good morning. I'm glad you're here because Wolf and I got into a discussion, I think it was yesterday, and Wolf told me after 15 years of doing the show, it was the worst opinion I've ever had. We are disagreeing on whether or not there is tremendous pressure on Josh Doan as being drafted by the organization whose dad's jersey is on the roof. So I ask you, is there a tremendous amount of pressure on Josh Doan?
It's a great question. It's a great question, Doug. And, you know, here's the way that I think about it. He's grown up with a lot of the pressure every time he went to the rink. So every time he's gone on the ice, he's had Doan on the back of his jersey, you know. So he's dealt with this his whole life. This is not a new thing. When he went to play in, for Chicago Steel, they said the same thing, you know. So, yes, there's always pressure. But if you meet Josh, you realize, you know, how he is and how he thinks about not only himself and in his path to get to the NHL, but he's a very confident, quiet, confident young man with great compete in him. And I think one of the things that I told him was, like, I ran the draft one year and had the last pick of the draft, and there was my son who was in the draft and hadn't been picked, and I didn't pick him. And I told him, I said, listen, you get drafted for your ability and not your name. And he was very comfortable with coming here. And Shane was in the family and the ownership was all comfortable with the decision because of his ability and who he is as a young man.
You know what, Bill?
In other words, Wolf Doug's right.
We'll agree. That's what he said. We'll agree to disagree on that one. I would say this.
That's right, Wolf. That's right. You owe me a coffee for that.
No, I just say it, Billy. Honestly, I would tell Josh to embrace the pressure because it's going to be there. But anyways, we could talk about that. Talk to us why you drafted Josh. Go into a little bit more detail on the scouting report on Josh Doan.
Yeah. So if I was really good at my job, I could have ran the draft last year, I would have taken him in the seventh round. There was he showed some flashes. He kind of faded out his first year there, but he showed some flashes. Like, hey, there's something there. And then he just came back, and he is a very well-rounded hockey player. He can make a play. He can score. You know, he's not afraid to get physical. He can pretty much do it all. And the thing that you love about him is his improvement. Like, the rate of improvement for him has been incredible. Like, every time you went back to watch him this year, he got better and better. And you could read the reports, and you could see him just elevate his game. And as the confidence grew, he just played better and better. Really like him, you know, where he's going in. It's also a treat for the fans. He's going to be playing at Arizona here, that, you know, at the university, and it's going to be great. I mean, he's right down the street. Our fans can get a look at him, and not only that, it's he's pretty comfortable with being around the Coyotes, and he'll be able to jump in once in a while and watch us too. So it's a win-win for everyone, and we're really excited about having him.
So we're talking to Bill Armstrong. He's the GM of the Coyotes. Sorry, I don't know this. I should have looked it up, but I literally don't have any idea. What's Josh's jersey number?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, what's he going to – I mean, I don't think he has to ask to pull down 19, does he? I mean, it's
I love it.
It's already got his name on it.
I think Dad and him will have to wrestle over that idea.
All right. We can leave it there.
So, Bill, talk to us about how difficult it was to trade Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Well, first of all, Oliver's been a staple in this community, you know, and he's been a great captain here for the Coyotes. And he's a really good person. And I think just through, I kind of walked into it. And, you know, it was hard because our relationship wasn't good at the start because I walked into this, you know, it was kind of just all over the place and it was out in the paper and we were trying to trade him and this. And but it got to the point, I think it wore on him behind the scenes, and I think he'd be the first to admit it, he didn't have a great year last year. And I think he realized that, hey, it had to go in a different direction. And so when we were able to move him, I think there was a relief with him inside the organization because that deal was signed before the flat cap. I think it works for Oliver. It gets him a place to a chance where he's got a chance to win. And it also helps us as an organization to have extreme flexibility in these times of the flat cap. And you can see what we've done with it lately.
You know, it's funny you say that because I got to tell you, we're probably the only talk show in America that totally accepts and agrees with a local hockey GM trading a captain. But the line for me was when it included Connor Garland. And I know you probably felt like, how else do you expect me to get this done? I know you've got to do things you don't want to do in order to get things done. But aren't you going to spend the rest of this free agency and the rest of these drafts trying to replace Connor Garland when you already had him?
It's an interesting predicament when you're in that. And, you know, do you sweeten the pot and do you make that deal more attractive in that? And listen, Connor is an unbelievable competitor. Like, and that's why everybody loves him. You know, he was a fan favorite. But I have to make tough decisions as a GM, and I knew that coming through the door. I've got to listen to my scouting staff and what they say and building our identity of our team and where the cap's going and our flexibility and how do we move forward. And I felt personally it was in the best interest of the club, you know, to make that deal and attach Connor into it. I know the fans will feel a little bit of, you know, wrath about being upset about it, but listen, when you see Gunther play, you're going to be excited.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, Bill, because you're losing some grizzled veterans here. Where do you think the leadership is going to come inside that dressing room?
We've acquired Louis Erickson, you know, he's won a Stanley Cup. Jay Beagle, he's won a Stanley Cup. Andrew Ladd's won a Stanley Cup. And Anton Strowman's an unbelievable leader. We're going to do it in numbers about how we're going to lead. You know, our veterans are all inspired about coming through the door. They know it might be their last year. They want to go out with a bang. They want to see if they can get another contract. So they're hungry to play. And the one thing about the guys that we acquired, they have tremendous leadership, but what they bring is a tremendous amount of experience to pass on and mentor the young guys like Keller and Schmoltz and Dvorak and Chychrun coming through for us that are still part of our core.
So important, isn't it, Bill? I mean, it really is. The player. I learned more from a player in my 10 years in the National Football League. I learned more from other players about how to play the game, not what to do, but how to play the game than I did from any coach. It's so important, Bill.
It is, and I think our new coach Bear's coming in, and he's trying to implement his new culture, and you know those guys are on board with that, you know, and they know what it takes to win. So this is also going to be great for our coaching staff. They've got leaders inside the dressing room that have won before, and they're going to dive in and help turn around our culture and help turn around us into a winning franchise.
Talking to Bill Armstrong, GM of the Coyotes, in the NBA draft. You expect results in game one. NFL draft, people start asking questions around game 8, game 10 if they're not seeing what they want. Baseball, kids got like 4 years, and it's okay until they start producing. Yeah. When do you expect 2021 draft picks to contribute to winning?
There are 3 years down the road. That's the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes a kid can come into camp and just literally, you know, he just jumps right in and plays. Doesn't bother him. That's rare. It's very, very rare for that to happen. And the other part about it, if you put the wrong kid in the NHL too early, it's so detrimental to their career and who they are. It almost sets them back another extra 2 years. So for us, we want to make sure that we develop them and develop them slow. Put them in a good situation to succeed when they're ready to play in the National Hockey League. And that's a key for us. We have to have some patience in developing our players and make sure that they're strong enough, big enough, and fast enough to go into the NHL and play. And we have to have some patience. But you're right, it's about 3 to 4 years away.
Bill, do you like Tempe? I mean, do you like Tempe?
It's do I like Tempe? That's a good question. If they build a new, if they build a new rink in Tempe and give me an office with some windows, and I got a practice facility underneath my feet, and we're sold out every night.
You'll
with
like
a championship
it.
Team there. Yeah, I love Tempe.
That's good, Bill.
That's a pretty good answer.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. And great answer to the first question. Have a good off season here.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Okay, there's Bill Armstrong, general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. Breaking news. Doug's right.
No way.
Coming up next, veterans report to training camp today for the Arizona Cardinals, and we've got some questions.
Yeah, Josh Doan is a computer.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that he joined us on the Coulter. I was just so excited about a GM agreeing with me.
Right.
That I forgot to tell you that he joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a pre-owned Cadillac, you win a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle at Coulter Cadillac Tempe. com. The biggest questions remaining for the Cardinals before they get rolling are asked next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Zaven Collins. You're listening to 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, yeah, this is where we coming in. Oh, yeah.
Let's go!
There's such a business-like approach, and that's been impressive to me. Guys like JJ, guys like Malcolm Butler, and then all the way to Zaven Collins.
Yeah, Mike Backers, who's your quarterback, and that's Zaven. That's Zaven Collins.
He's planning on coming in there and starting game one.
Nothing's given. You got to earn everything, so that's just what I'm trying to do. Every snap, every day.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
That one in the middle there was his head coach the morning after the draft to the Doug and Wolf show. Zaven Collins. His plan is to go in there and start game one.
Do you have any idea how difficult that is? What a difficult proposition that is.
I mean, if a player says it, you're like, okay, you know, nice job, kid.
There is...
When his head coach says it from college, I'm like, all right.
There are only two other positions that I think would be more difficult than trying to be a Mike linebacker in the National Football League as a rookie. Only two. Quarterback and fullback.
No, come
Why
on.
Why fullback, Wolf?
If
fullback.
You go quarterback now, and center, you're fullback over center, come on.
I am so happy that you said that, man.
Come on.
Why fullback?
Fullback over center.
What do you say you gather around the transistor and press here? I'll tell you why. Because a fullback has got to know protection schemes, all protection schemes, not just rundown
a center
situation,
doesn't?
Not just rundown. He's got to know where the center's going. The center doesn't really need – he does know.
Come on.
He doesn't really need to know where the fullback's
Back
going.
Off, fullback.
The center just needs to know where he's going right there. A fullback needs to understand everything, ladies and gentlemen. Flare control, blitz pickup. You need to know it in rundown situation and third and obvious pass situations. You need to understand how we're going to block a 4-3 over or a 4-3 under.
It's so important they got rid of the position.
You are. You know what? It's coming back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark my words on this. It's coming back. You're going to see more fullbacks play this year than you did last year. And there was a serious
Can't
uptick
wait.
Of fullbacks playing last year. Isn't that right, Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick's still running a fullback out there on the field. Do you know why that is? And don't say because Cam Newton. Do not say that. The fullback is not dead yet, metaphorically speaking, of course. But a fullback's got to know it all. He's got to know protection schemes. He's got to know route combinations. He's got to know it because he's the guy that's adjusting off everybody else.
Can't wait!
That's why, Mel... Or Maloney.
It's not over the center. And I'm putting safety ahead of the fullback, too.
Well, I think technically I'd have to go with you on the center. I think I would have to. I was trying to fire for effect. Quarterback and fullback. And then the green dot. Zaven Collins. Nobody understands how difficult that is.
I totally agree
with
that.
Oh, my goodness. Are you, especially when you put it in the context of the first week of the season against the Tennessee Titans. Zaven Collins, here's a little forecast for you. The Tennessee Titans are going to throw the ball for 350 yards. It's not going to be Derrick Henry running the ball. It's going to be the Tennessee Titans throwing the ball in rundown situation using play action with Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons sucking up to the line of scrimmage and that middle opening up, that's where I think they're really gonna have to have some great man cover behind that.
Two things. One, mention Maloney, will you please pull that? Because we're going to want that Monday morning after the Titans-Cardinals game.
350 yards.
And
Doug and Wolf's bold predictions.
Let's do this! Fire, fire!
What is this?
Ron Wolfley has predicted that the Tennessee Titans will throw for 350 yards week one, and that's only counting rundown situations. But we don't have a close.
These bold predictions. Yeah, really. You know what? Where's the bookend? Close it off.
Here's our close.
There we go. Where are we going?
Maloney's the closer. Do you remember that whole pre-show meeting when we do questions?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. But we didn't anticipate fullbacks over centers and Zaven Collins conversation.
Yes.
But that was fun.
What does AJ Green have left?
Oh, yeah. There is a major camp question for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting right now. You know, Dave Pasch, of course, has the Pod Pasch, ladies and gentlemen. The Pod Pasch.
It's not the Pasch Pod?
Oh, the Pasch Pod.
Yeah, I would go Pasch Pod. It's not like the French language with the adjective.
I was driving, ladies and gentlemen, and rammed us into a wall. You know, at like 110.
When in the French say the bike green.
The Pod Pasch.
That's kind of what you did.
It should have been the Pod Pasch. That's way better than the Pasch Pod. Anyways, he was doing this.
I actually agree with you on that.
And he actually talked to Cliff Kingsbury about this. And Cliff Kingsbury said, and here's a little tease for you. You're going to have to listen to the Pasch Pod.
Wait, you already know? Mess with me. You already know what he said, and you're teasing us, even though you're not on the Pasch Pod.
Yes, as a matter of fact. He said AJ Green might be the key to the entire offense.
Oh, wait. That's
wow.
That wasn't a tease. That was actually what he said then.
Hey.
That was kind of harsh right there.
Well, you know, he backed it up.
Wow.
So go ahead, Dave Pasch. There's your little grease. And it's not payola.
You don't get paid for the Pod
Pasch
Pasch Pod?
I paid nothing to say Pod Pasch.
Okay.
Will Cliff Kingsbury continue to evolve as a head coach?
Man, that's a question.
I don't think so.
He's smart and he's humble. Yes, is my answer.
I'm going to say no.
Yes, he's going to evolve. He's going to get it. He's smart and he's humble.
In no way, Cliff, am I trying to be a jerk to you. I'm just answering the question. But I don't think you fall from the air raid tree and then suddenly want to run the tree over. You know, it's just who you are, and you've had 2 years to bring a physical attitude to the team. I realize to go from fired college coach to week-long offensive coordinator at USC to rookie NFL head coach into COVID, into a failed year when you should have gone to the playoff, and now in year three, for the first time in your life, it's normal. I realize it's not easy, but it was time to start punching people in the face, and you still haven't done it in 32 games. So I'm not a believer. I admit it.
Will Robert Alford play a game?
Oh, boy. Yes! Yes, Robert Alford's going to play a game. Please don't play him in the preseason. Don't play him. Don't put him out there.
That no question,
to put him out there.
It's so fair and it's so rude. It's so harsh. You know, like the guy tries to go out and get hurt, but you've signed a 3-year contract and you have played zero games and you're in year three.
You know what? At least they got him at the veterans minimum.
Yeah, they did restructure and he understood he didn't have a lot of leverage, but wants to stay and prove himself. So that's pretty cool. I certainly am rooting for the guy. I am going to say yes. There's just no way lightning strikes three times.
He plays in a game, of course.
Is that your answer last year and the year before?
What will the Cardinals' running game look like?
Wolf's not going to like this answer.
This has got me so nervous.
Wolf's not going to like this one.
I do not splatter easily.
It's going to look like Kyler Murray with the football.
I don't.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't splatter easily. I don't. But I must admit, I'm a little nervous about it. You cannot run it through Kyler Murray. You can't do it. Do you want to know what the money quote of the offseason was from Kyler Murray? Honestly, the way I see it, my leg should be a luxury. And it's kind of, well, it wasn't last year. It was kind of me having to run for us, in a sense. And once my shoulder was banged up and whatever, I wasn't trying to put myself out there and take those hits and stuff like that. We kind of hit a low. Can I just tell you right now? If you're saying we have to run Kyler Murray for our offense to be successful, it's time for a new offense. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm going to say he's the leading rusher.
Please, dog. You know I'm PO'd when I call you Doug.
Is Chandler Jones fully committed as a Cardinal?
I can't even remember the last time you did.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Chandler Jones knows where his exit door is if he wants to take that exit door. There's no doubt about it. It's the 2021 season. There it is. Go out in all its goodness. Play with J.J. Watt. Play with Jordan Phillips. Go out there and play with a team that should have an excellent pass defense. Especially with you coming off the edge. A healthy you, Chan. No doubt about it. Go out and ball, and everything else will take care of itself.
I admit I'm totally playing semantics. I agree with everything you said, and I say no, he's not. He's not committed to the Arizona Cardinals, but he is committed to the 2021 season and proving to other general managers to pay him what he thinks he's worth. And therefore, I realize by default you're going to say, well, that makes him committed to the Cardinals. But no, I think he's committed to 2021 in order to get somewhere else.
Obfuscation. Okay. Next.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're late. You had a lot to say there. Because remember, there is time for one more question. The last question for Cardinals questions for camp is, will Kyler Murray lead the team in rushing?
Say that again.
Yeah, thank you. The future of Larry Fitzgerald is still unknown. Wolf will give you a report on that, too. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Loaded.
We're losing to Germany 17-6 in badminton right now. Step up.
Oh, my goodness. Badminton. You know, there are some countries that take this seriously, like badminton. The guys start beating each other with the rackets.
Mike Tirico said in Indonesia on opening ceremonies that there are countries in Indonesia that get 10,000 fans for a badminton match.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Not at all.
What are you doing? You're going, let's go watch some badminton, man. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. It's so bad. When I think of badminton, I think of my Aunt Nellie. I think of my aunt who was 81 years old and actually still could. What is the bird called? What is it?
Shuttlecock.
The shuttlecock, whatever it might be.
I made that up. Actually, I don't know if I'm right.
She was actually really good with her rackets still at 81.
Really?
Stop. No, of course not.
I see.
It's a joke.
You got me. The thing I'm amazed at is watching Olympic badminton is they don't have a beer in their other hand. I played badminton twice, and both times I had a beer in my hand.
What?
No, I should say three times. I think I was eight. Right. I did not have a beer in my hand then.
I don't know. I'm just... I think I'd rather do any other sport in any other Olympic sport than badminton.
I could see you doing synchronized swimming.
You know what? Honestly, hey, they're in shape, at least. Do you really have to be in shape to play badminton? When are they going to roll out the guy who's got a gut? That's what I wanted. Well, there is one guy right there. It's kind of thick.
Yeah.
I honestly...
Because the shuttlecock just went at the guy's nostril.
Okay, stop
it. Suddenly you kind of like it now.
What? Stop it. It's badminton. Talk about something else.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Larry Watch. Larry Watch.
Are you planning on returning for an 18th season with the Cardinals?
Well, I haven't decided on anything.
The latest on Larry, listen to Doug and Wolf. Larry Watch on the Doug and Wolf Show.
That was the latest, and the latest was on July 9th. Today's July 27th.
Some guy just got the shuttlecock right at his feet, and he didn't even react. Just started walking over to his bench. That was good. You knew that was over.
Did you tune out during Fitz Watch?
Yeah. You said something about Larry right there. Larry,
for the latest on Larry, listen to Doug and Wolf.
I heard it the first time.
You were worried about the shuttlecock.
You know, I'm just saying that Larry Fitzgerald, he's not going to show up today. I hope he shows up today. but he's not going to show up today. And at some point in time, I don't know when we're going to hear anything definitive on Larry Fitzgerald, but if in fact he is waiting for a team to be able to scrape together, and that team being the Arizona Cardinals, enough money where they can actually make it worth his while, maybe he's going to wait till, September?
I said that in July, and you ripped me. He's not that kind of guy. If he's going to play, he's going to be there at training camp. Well, he's not the kind. That's what you said.
No, I've always said no. No, you're right about that. I did say that. But that was before I came up with my hypothesis.
So wait a minute. I'm wrong until you agree. And now that there's a hypothesis, now I'm right.
I came up with a new hypothesis that said at that point in time.
How many hypotheses do you have?
I'm just telling you right now, listen, the team's got to hit that number. And I think that ultimately is probably what it's always been with Larry. You got to hit that number. Make it worth my while.
What's interesting about that.
Forget about it.
If you're going to hit the number, you got to sign him to a 2-year deal, because the only way you're going to fit it under the cap is if you spread out the cap hit to 2022 as well, which means there will be a cap charge next year unless Fitz is ready to play 2 more years.
Why stop at 2?
And oh, by the way, if Fitz wants to break Jerry Rice's consecutive game streak, he's got to play in 2022.
Why stop at 2? Like I said, let's go ahead. Hey, we just signed Larry to a 6-year deal. What do you think of that?
You know what? It's okay. Even though you're a little obnoxious with 6, the cap is expected to skyrocket with the new TV money and hopefully no more COVID. You could mathematically sign him to a 4-year deal and easily spread out a $16 million bonus. And that's basically what he gets paid. And it's only a $4 million cap hit for 4 years, and pay him dirt during the season. Man. You know, pay him minimum wage during the season. Minimum for a veteran, of course. That would work mathematically. You
know, I just cannot wait to see some of the changes this offseason. And that's something that we've heard whispers about the Arizona Cardinals, especially offensively, and if they're going to look any different offensively. For me, I'm so jacked up because the money cut of the entire offseason, that's what I said, the entire offseason to me was Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray saying, I think my legs should be a luxury. Somebody told him that. Somebody had a conversation with him, in my opinion. That's just me. Nobody has told me that. It could be totally Kyler Murray, but I don't believe that. Somebody said to him, you know what? This is what we want to do, Kyler. We want to go ahead and make your legs more of a luxury.
Where have you been the last few weeks?
What do you mean?
Like, where did all this vacation? 9:54 and you're all of a sudden like bringing it on a... Oh. You didn't even know the show's over. I got one of the things that's kind of weird, we call it the buzz, and the station wants me to read this now that the show's over, and I do have to ask, since we're not going to be able to read them, what kind of question do you want people to text the FanDuel text line at 620-620 about and force Bickley and Murata to deal with it, since we don't have time to read it?
Yeah. Is this offense going to be more physical?
Okay.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo! Physical lasers, physical buzz.
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. Give me your nonsense,
the
bitch.
You. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
I would last about 18 seconds if I played water polo, but man, did I enjoy watching South Africa get destroyed by the United States of America today while I was supposedly doing a talk show.
You know what? Badminton sucks buttermilk. Even the Amish don't like it. Peace and strength.
Today is the first day of real hitting. Full pads, full contact. The day's highlight is the Oklahoma drill. Football at its most fundamental.